I'm glad you're ready to study with us in the Psalms. And I want to talk to you about one of my favorites, Psalm 84. I love all the Psalms. I've gotten a great deal of help from them. But Psalm 84 has come to mean something special to me. This is one of the three Gittith Psalms. Gittith means, we believe, upon happy notes. And certainly Psalms 8 and 81 and 84 are all happy psalms. These are the three Gittith psalms. And these are the ones that present to us some very happy things. One of them was for David, and one of them was for the chief singer, and this one is for the sons of Korah. Perhaps you remember that Korah was a rebel against the Lord, and his sons were saved because they took sides against their rebel father. Later on, God allowed them to be the singers in the temple. And they're very much like ourselves. We were the sons of a rebel, Adam, and we have been redeemed, and we have been given the place of being God's singers, too. This psalm is divided equally into three parts. The first four verses, ending with a Selah, and verses 5 through 8, ending with a Selah, and the last four verses. The divisions of the psalm are very simple. First of all, he talks about his desire for the presence and company of the Lord. Then he tells about the strength and the help that he's had in knowing this presence of the Lord and his company. And at last, he tells all of the good things that God does for those who will put their trust in him. Now, those of us who are enjoying the Lord's company would like to share with any of you who have not yet come to know him. And so, will you please think with me through this psalm? It begins with a statement, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Amiable means pleasant. We're all looking for pleasant things. The trouble is we don't look in the right place. The real pleasantness is found in the presence of God. The word tabernacle means a dwelling place. God has had several dwelling places, some of them here on this earth. The tabernacle in the wilderness was God's dwelling place, and this was a pleasant place for those who went there to seek the Lord. The temple was his dwelling place. We're told in the 8th chapter of the book of the Acts that there are no dwelling places on earth now. The seventh chapter of Acts tells us that there are no dwelling places for God on earth. No building today can be called properly God's house. But God does dwell in his people. We are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit, he says in the book of Ephesians. And then the individual believer's heart and life can be God's dwelling place. God would like to make his home with you. He would like to live in happy fellowship and touch with you. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell and live within your very body. And God is present with his believers. And this is the most pleasant thing. It's wonderful to have fellowship with God, and we're most unhappy when we find ourselves out of touch with him. So verse 2 speaks about my soul longing and fainting for the hearts of God. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I couldn't be satisfied without God's company. Now, the courts of the Lord speak of nearness to God, but not near enough. Some of the people in the Old Testament were never allowed to come any closer to God than the courts. I'm sure that David often felt badly that he was not a priest, that he was only a king. And I'm sure that in the New Testament times, it's most wonderful for us to know that we who are saved are all the priests of God and that we can draw near to God. In fact, we're invited to do so in the book of James. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So we can know the living God. Now, the living God is in contrast to an historical God. If you simply know God because you learned about him from your parents or in church, you need to know him as one who is real and alive to you. In verse 3, we find the psalmist at home in the presence of God. Just as the bird has its nest, so he says, I have a place at thine altars. The Revised Version gives it this way. The altars are my place of dwelling, my home. Now, in the Old Testament, there was the brazen altar where the sacrifices were offered. This speaks of Calvary. And then there was the golden altar where they worshipped. And this tells us that we as believers are allowed to draw near to God's presence. So we can know what it is to be at home with God. And he calls God my King and my God. It's a personal matter. Christ is your Savior only if you have accepted him. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. It's true that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you have to receive God's gift. Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. When did you receive God's gift? The result of all this will be the blessedness that he speaks about in verses 4 and 5 and 12, and the word blessed really means happy. Happy are they that dwell in thy house. The word dwell means to settle down and be at home there. Not just visit God occasionally, but spend time with him. Get to know him. The result is they will be still praising thee. Still, yes, no matter what happens. After all is said and done, after all that comes in our lives, we'll still be praising him. No wonder he ends this section with a Selah. We ought to stop and think about this. Then in the next section, he tells us how we can be happy in finding daily strength in the Lord. He mentions this in verse 5, and again in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. But you say, I have trouble in my life. Well, so did David. And he speaks about the Valley of Baca in verse 6. Now, there is no valley on the map or in the Holy Land called the Valley of Baca. Baca simply means weeping. The Valley of Weeping is the time of trouble in our lives. Now, he says, turn this into a well, and the rain will fill the pools. In other words, you should be able to go back over the sorrows of your life and find refreshment as you remember how much God has done for you. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We're going to have the strength that we need for each day, and then at the last we're going to be taken home to dwell with him. And then he asks that God will hear his prayer, and he calls him the God of hosts, that's the name of his greatness, and he calls him the God of Jacob, that's the name of his mercy and grace. I think I find more comfort in the latter than in the first. I think it's wonderful to know that God called himself the God of Jacob more than any other person in the Bible. And Jacob was anything but exemplary. He wasn't a very good man, but he had a very wonderful God, and I have too. And here again we have a Selah to stop and think about this. Now at the close, he says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. The word anointed in the English is the same as the word Christ, or Christos in the Greek, and the word Mashiach, or Messiah, in the Hebrew. The Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, is the true Messiah of the Old Testament. He is God's anointed. And so we can't ask that God will bless us for our sakes, but that he will look upon the face of Christ. And this is how he blesses me day by day, for the sake of his Son. God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, and God for Christ's sake is blessing us. Now a day in God's courts, verse 10 tells us, is better than a thousand. Any day can be like this. Any day in God's presence is better than a thousand anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And the word doorkeeper is literally the slave who sits on the door stoop. Why, any place in God's presence is better than anything that this world has to offer. And then the Lord God is called a sun and a shield in verse 11. Now the sun gives us what we have. The sun is the source of blessing here on this earth. The Lord Jesus is our source of blessing in heaven, while a shield is for protection. So God gives us what is good, and he protects us from what is bad. And he will give grace and glory and good things. We have his grace in Psalm 22, the good things in Psalm 23, and his glory in Psalm 24. All that God has planned to give us is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would bless us much more if we would only walk uprightly. If we live to please the Lord, we'll find how the Lord is just waiting for opportunities to show us kindness. But you say, I've asked the Lord for some good things and he didn't give them to me. Now, just a minute. Who told you there were good things? They seemed good to you. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? What man of you, if his son ask him bread, will he give him a stone? The trouble with us is we don't have sense enough to know bread from stones. That's why we have to trust him. And so the 12th verse, the closing verse says, O Lord of hosts, blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in thee. If you'll just trust the Lord, he'll give you eternal life. And then having accepted Christ as your Savior, if you'll just trust the Lord, he'll give you the very best. It may not be your choice, but when it's all over with, you'll realize that God really gave you the best. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in thee. Let me ask you if you've ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He lives to be your friend and keeper and guide. And he's coming back to take home all those who have accepted him. Have you done so? If you have accepted the Lord Jesus, are you willing to trust him about everything? Are you willing to find your joys in himself and in fellowship with himself? Well, if you do so, you'll be among those who are called the blessed ones, the happy ones. Our Father, we thank thee for the happiness of knowing Christ, the happiness of leaving our lives in thy hands. And we pray for all who have listened just now that they too may put their trust in the Lord, our Savior. In his name, amen.